change what book in the Bible we're reading. Tonight we're going to do Isaiah. In those blue Bibles, it's page 1056 is where it starts, in the ones that here from the church. I don't think I've studied all the way through Isaiah with a class before, so I think we're going to try and make it all the way through Isaiah. Interesting enough, in studying the history, it is the most quoted Old Testament book in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Quoted.
Okay. It's the most quoted book in the New Testament. So.
This is not boring at all.
Not hardly.
So, but it's got a lot of chapters too. Mm-hmm. But what I want to do is I have a student's Bible. Mm-hmm. Okay? By the way, if you really want to read it and study it well, this is probably the best. I have all kinds of books.
Where'd you get that one? Because I've been looking for a Bible for me that's not on my phone.
But This here is doing a great job of introducing. So, have I got somebody that likes to read? One of the grand readers in our midst that would like to read tonight?
Sure. Pronounces all that good stuff.
Are you reading this book or do you want to read that book?
Pardon?
You want me to read that?
Yeah, why don't you read it?
Okay.
Pass it. Is it the same NH? There's different versions.
It's hard to follow.
So it's going to be close once we get to it. She's going to read an introduction first.
Which side is that?
Yes, right there.
The not blue part.
Yes. She's going to do an introduction. Go ahead.
Prophet, poet, and politician, his nation at a crossroads, Isaiah looks to meet the challenge. The prophet Isaiah was a giant of Jewish history. He is a Shakespeare of Hebrew literature. And the New Testament quotes him more than all the other prophets combined.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No other biblical author can match his rich vocabulary and use of imagery. And yet Isaiah spent his days not in an ivory tower, but in the corridors of power. He served as advisor to the kings of Judah and set the course of his nation. Days of crisis. Isaiah lived at a crucial time, midway between the founding of the kingdom under Saul and David, and its eventual destruction.
Okay, let's stop right there. It's interesting, Isaiah was there during the time of Saul and David.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that kind of helps you place the timing and what's going on around, because if you read about David, Isaiah was around when David was around. He was around when King Saul was around. Saul was the first king, correct. Okay, so it's right in that same timing. It helps you place it in the big picture. Because it relates to those things that happened during those periods. So it's right at that period when Saul and David had been king. Let's go ahead.
A civil war had split the Israelites into North Israel and South Judah.
Okay. What happened is they were separated to the South and the North. So we're going to have Isaiah speaking in the South. Right? Okay, in the south. And it is Judea. Okay, so that's the name of the area that he was in. It was in the south. He wasn't in Jerusalem, he was in Judea. And they were split. Go ahead.
And Isaiah lived in the more pious southern kingdom. When Isaiah began his work, the nation seemed strong and wealthy, but Isaiah supposed then about their neighbor's hunger. People gave lip service to God and kept up the outward appearance of religion, but did little more.
Okay, let's stop right there.
That sounds familiar.
So, it's in a period of time when Judea was actually being prosperous.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they had a lot of money and so on and so forth. And so they find that the people gave God lip service, but they actually were not serving God. And it's interesting because what we talk about next brings serving God to a practical application.
Outside, dangers loomed even larger. The armies of neighboring Israel were rattling swords and spears at the border. On all sides, monster empires were growing, especially Egypt and Assyria. Judah was caught in a pincers. Should the nation choose one of the empires as an ally?
Okay, so what's happened now is, by the way, the rich were getting rich at the expense of the poor. I think you might have skipped a little something there. Because it says this. They were serving God only with their lips because they weren't caring for the widow or the poor or the whatever groups were needy. And so it's interesting that when God talks about just giving lip service, God cares about the poor and the widow and the needy.
Yes.
And he says, here they were getting rich at the expense of those people. Any of you have to pay more than $500 a month for rent? Who's getting rich?
Not me.
And who are they getting rich at? The expense of the poor and the needy. Yes. And here's what God has to say about it. That is, if you're a Christian and you're getting rich at the expense of the poor and the widow and the needy, then you're just giving lip service to me because God cares. Listen to me. God cares about the poor, the needy, and the widow.
Amen.
And when God wants us to care about those who are less fortunate than us. By the way, you may feel like you aren't very blessed until you get around somebody who gets excited at a can of soda. And all of a sudden you say, oh, I'm really blessed if a can of soda determines whether I'm blessed or not. And it's cool because she got the can of soda just to bless him, and bless him she did. And how does God see that? You're serving me when you bless people like that.
That's right.
So God, she didn't know it, but she was serving God. Because God says, when you bless the poor, the widow, the needy, then you are serving him. I think that's really important.
Yes.
Because when we talk about being spiritual, we can get some really weird ideas. God gets it right down to the practical, a can of soda for a man that's handicapped.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
Now, what they are is there are large nations and groups of people that are around them that are growing, and so they become a target, where Isaiah is, becomes a target for those nations to come and try to take over. And so their decision is, who are we going to turn to take care of us and protect us? Now you go.
Harsh words from an uncompromising prophet. The nation of Judah, said Isaiah, stood at a crossroads. It could either regain its footing or begin a dangerous slide downward. The prophet did not temper his message for the sake of popular opinion. He had harsh and unyielding words about the changes must take place. Although he moved in royal circles, Isaiah was hardly a yes man in politics. Sometimes he stood alone alongside a tide of optimism. His very name meant the Lord saves, and he warned kings that relying on military power or wealth or any other force other than God would lead to disaster.
Whoa, let's stop right here. They had a choice of who they were going to turn to. What is their inclination to turn to? Another nation. They had lots of soldiers, lots of arms and all that. However, who should they turn to?
God.
Does that sound a little high-minded in our everyday realistic things of saying, I'm running tight financially, but I'm going to trust God? Because that's what they had to decide. Syria had to decide, are we going to trust God? Or are we going to trust neighboring armies to come in, and they would pay them to come in and protect them? And they had to decide which one. Good.
Isaiah outlasted four kings, but he finally offered one beyond repair. King Manasseh, notorious for practicing infant sacrifice, found Isaiah's strong words too much to bear. Tradition records that he had Isaiah killed by fastening him between two planks of wood and sawing his body in half.
Okay. So, Isaiah did not compromise God's message, because the messages he gave were ones that God told him, go say, okay, or go do. And it didn't matter whether the person was wealthy, famous, rich, poor, whatever. He went and did what God told him to do and said what God told him to say. And he refused to compromise just because the person was rich or could promote him or any of that. He always gave God's word for the moment.
Amen.
So that's a faithful prophet, a faithful man. And Isaiah was one of them. However, how did he end up dying?
He sawed him in half.
Can you imagine going to all that trouble to just make his death torturous? That they put him between two planks and then sawed him in half. Yes, can you imagine? That's a terrible, terrible idea. Well, somebody that just is bored, I'd say. But I think, once again, trying to warn any godly person, if you stand up for godliness, you'll pay.
Mm-hmm.
Do we ever get in that place?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That there's others that don't appreciate it when we take a stand for truth and godliness and righteousness.
Don't be preachy.
What's that?
That's a line that I was told by my very good friend. I just mentioned the word Jesus, and she's like, don't get preachy. Really?
Okay. Come in here with that God stuff.
Yeah.
Heard that.
Yeah.
But Isaiah was, we refused to compromise, and he declared what God was speaking. So, let me see where you're at. I think we want to jump.
One last paragraph.
You're almost down to the end, right?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and go to the
Manasseh
end.
Manasseh has long since disappeared into obscurity, but Isaiah, through this book, endures as one of the great authors of all time. Sometimes the pen is mightier than the sword.
Okay. So, he was one of the greatest authors. They say he's one of the finest writers of his day and age. So he was a faithful man besides. Okay, now we're going to start in chapter 1, right?
Do you want me to read from this one? Or?
No, read that. Yeah, read that one. I don't know if they're different. Go ahead.
Okay. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amos, which he saw.
Okay, it's a vision of
Isaiah.
Okay.
Vision of Isaiah. Yeah.
And so, go ahead.
In the days of Uzziah,
the king,
Ahaz and Hezekiah, king of Judah, the wickedness of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and have brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand.
Woo! That's God talking about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
What's he saying?
Mm-hmm.
Even a donkey knows where his crib's at.
Mm-hmm.
And these people don't know where their gods are. And so he's simply saying they have wandered from me, and they're doing their own thing, and they're going to end up with that same result.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because they wandered away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, offspring who do evil, children who deal corruptly, who have forsaken the Lord, who have despised the Holy One of Israel, who are utterly estranged.
Who? Would you say they were just mildly backslidden?
Don't seem like it.
They had literally joined the world.
Yep.
And in our culture here in America, things have taken quite a change since our president's come in, and we've moved back towards morality. Okay? Thank God for that. Okay? But our nation, for many years, went backwards towards where homosexuality and all this junk, all the MBCLLPs, whatever they want to call them. But our nation has gone backwards a bunch until our president got in. At this point, it's interesting, our president is being very firm and adamant about God's word being taught and so on. I heard an interesting declaration or study that they did, they said just putting the Ten Commandments on a plaque in the back of a room changed the behavior in that classroom amazingly. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
God's word.
Not even reading it to them, not in anything. And so literally there are several states now that are requiring the Ten Commandments to be on in every classroom there is.
Wow.
Knowing that just having them there changes the atmosphere.
Wow.
Isn't that pretty amazing?
Yes.
That's faith. That's faith. I mean, they knew that they put the words there.
Yeah.
So amazing that such a simple thing. Now, it'd be different if they taught them and talked about them and you say, well, okay, that makes sense. But just having them posted made so much difference in the classroom that they made it the law in the state that they have to do it.
Yep.
To help classrooms fall back into order. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Right.
And she says, and what he's saying here, is he was saying, listen, you have turned away from God and utterly cast his word behind you. In other words, you never consider God and his word when you do life. Go ahead.
Why do you seek further beatings? Why do you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and bleeding wounds. They have not been drained or bound up or softened with oil.
Okay, so he's talking from a spiritual point of view and saying spiritually, you're sick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In every aspect, you're sick. Whereas with a wound, if you soften it up and it will heal, he's saying, my word would do the same thing to you, but you don't even consider my word, you don't even consider my ways. And Isaiah is prophesying what God has told him to tell the people because he wants to get their attention. Okay.
Your country lies desolate, your cities are burned with fire. In your very presence, aliens devour your land. It is desolate, is overthrown by foreigners. And daughter Zion is left like a booth in a vineyard, like a shelter in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. If the Lord of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we would have been like Sodom and became like Gomorrah.
Ooh.
Wow.
God is saying, you have become as vile and wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah were. And he said, you're likened unto them, except there's a few righteous lights out there. There's a few lights out there.
Cool.
Well, the greater the darkness, the more the light will show.
Yes.
So it doesn't take nearly as much light. In this room, if you turn the lights off and it would seem real dark, you light just one little match. It's amazing how much light that gives off.
Amen.
Because the darkness is so much greater than our light. And so God is saying,
the other way too.
Okay. But what he's saying here is, listen, there are a few people that have chosen to serve me and do it my way.
Mm-hmm.
He said, other than that, the rest of them have totally gone crazy. Mm-hmm. That's the Roy McKinney version. Go ahead.
Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teachings of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To me, what to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord.
Okay, so here they are, living immoral lives, and ungodly lives, and wicked, vile lives, and yet they're doing what?
Offering sacrifices.
Offering sacrifices.
Oh my.
Why would anybody do that?
Oh my. Well, the same reason people do it today.
Just show it off.
Well, it's because it's
religious.
Just so they look. Okay.
Buying insurance.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, it's to me, I'm sorry, I just don't understand it. Because if you're going to serve God, serve God. If you aren't, go out and do whatever you want to do until you've had your fill.
Then come back.
And then come back and serve God. Well, that's what I tell people. When people are trying to play a game with me, I say, listen, do yourself and myself a favor.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't had enough of it, go out and have as much as you possibly can handle. And then come back and serve God. Because you're wasting your time, energy, money, whatever. When we are not doing it in a godly fashion, you are just squandering yourself and kidding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're saying is, go do as much as you want until you've had your fill.
Mm-hmm. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asks this from your hand? Trample my courts no more, bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath are and calling of convocation. I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity.
Okay, so God had called the Jews to do three feasts a year, every year, okay? And the new moons and some of that was part of it. Mm-hmm. And so he says, don't waste your time
right.
doing those sacrifices. Don't celebrate those special occasions because it means nothing to me because I see your heart and your behavior. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't care. I don't, once again, I personally have a hard time understanding why people would play a game. If I'm going to serve God, I'm going to do it with my whole heart. If I'm not going to do it with my whole heart, why would I waste my time, energy, money, and all that to do something that does me no good? So, yes.
Your new moons and your appointed festivals, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Mm. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow.
Isn't it interesting what he mentions as a spiritual thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That is loving and caring about others and not taking advantage of people in their difficult places and times. Mm-hmm. Ah, good.
Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Mm-hmm. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword.
Okay. So he gives them a declaration. I say you can be, even though you've been a wretched sinner, that you can be pure and white as snow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so God's saying, I'll forgive you. You just need to repent. And repentance is what?
Changing from your ways.
Yes. It's to turn back to God and his ways. And then he says, and how I'm going to know you have turned back is because you're going to start caring about those who are needy around you. So I think it's important for us that we have God's heart for people that are needy, like Bernice did this morning or yesterday. She came home. She was excited about being able to give him a can of pop. Because she came home and said, I did something. I did blah, blah, blah. It says, it's great to see him. And then to see the excitement that he has, that's what God wants us to do for others. And once again, I want to make you realize, needy is only a perspective, okay? Because if James has $1 million, which he's not quite that rich, almost.
Not quite.
Okay. And I have $100, and you only have 50 cents.
83.
I look rich. Okay? I could look rich to you if you didn't know James was a millionaire. Mm-hmm. I could look rich to you because I have $100.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that man on the bus. Okay? Mm-hmm. So realize it's all what?
Perspective
when we talk about rich, poor, all that. Mm-hmm. Because I remember a story about a family that was in a church. And the church decided they were going to take up an offering for Christmas to give to the needy family. So all the people started doing this. One family, they went and gathered bottles and cashed them in and all that stuff and all that. And the kids came to the mom and said, look, this is what we've come to, and gave it to their mom to put in the offering. And when they put it in the offering, they were so excited that they were able to help the poor family. When the pastor went to give the gift out, you never guess who the gift went to.
Back to the family.
Those children, they had no idea they were poor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's all comparative.
Yes.
So even when we don't have a lot, if we have the right perspective, we will still want to bless others
mm-hmm.
in their time of need.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that is God in us.
Amen.
So it's all perspective. So just because somebody else, James, has $1 million and you only have 100, you're still well off when you have $100 until you try to compare it to James. Okay? Maybe he'll loan you something.
That's going.
Before the mouth of the Lord has spoken, he says, the degenerate city, how the faithful city has become a whore. She that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross. Your wine is mixed with water. Your princes are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and runs after gifts. They do not defend the orphan, and the widow's cause does not come before them.
There you go. Well, how does God see it? He's saying, all your stuff is worthless because you have the wrong perspective.
Right.
I want you to care about those who are in need.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go ahead.
24.
So he's, by the way, he's declaring to this nation, he's saying, listen, if you will do it my way, I will turn around and bless you
yes.
and make you a blessing.
Yes.
I believe it's important we realize generosity comes back to bite you.
Therefore, says the Sovereign, the Lord of hosts, the Mighty One of Israel, I will pour out my wrath on my enemies and avenge myself on my foes. I will turn my hand against you. I will smelt away your dross as with lye and remove all your alloy.
Whew. God says, I will give you what will get your attention.
Hmm.
Yes, and that's what he's doing. He's trying to get their attention and saying, mm-hmm. you've wandered from me. This is how you end up when you wander from me. If any of you ever wander.
Yes.
Yes. And God, by the way, and God allows things to get our attention.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's what's best for us.
Yes.
It's not because he's insecure and needs relationships. God loves you and he wants you to be blessed.
Yes.
And I will restore your judges as at the first, and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city, Zion.
Wow. He's saying, I'm going to chasten you,
yep.
but then when you turn back to me, I will restore you.
Yes, yes.
Okay? Isn't that just like God?
Yeah.
Yes.
He simply says, come to me, and though your sins be as red as scarlet, I will make you white as snow.
Yes.
What an amazing God we serve.
Yes.
And yet, you felt no need for him until you got desperate.
Hmm.
And that's that.
It's bad.
All right, okay.
Zion shall be redeemed by justice, and those in her who repent by righteousness.
Hmm.
But rebels and sinners shall be destroyed together, and those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For you shall be ashamed of the oaks in which you delighted, and you shall blush for the gardens that you have chosen. For you shall be like an oak whose leaf withers, and like a garden without water. The strong shall become like tinder, and their work like a spark, and they, their work, shall burn together with no one to quench them.
So, basically what he's saying, I'm going to take the trees and things that you made to worship and use it to light a fire on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to leave your the very thing that you turn to, the very God that came you turn to, will ultimately destroy you because that fire, I'll use it to burn up
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he's warning them and saying, here's the outcome of where you're heading. Choose whom you're going to serve. Who are you going to look to? Remember the beginning when it says, you know, looking to somebody? Whether you're going to look to the armies around you or are you going to look to God?
Mm-hmm.
In our situations, it's really important that we look the right place. And there are people that are around you, when you look to God, they're going to call you foolish and crazy and religious and all of that. But if we will do it God's way, he will bless us and cause us to prosper.
Yes.
That's the good news. I like it right in the middle of it all. God is simply saying, You are where you are because you chose the other way, but if you will choose me, I will restore you and bless you again.
Mm-hmm.
What an amazing God we serve.
Yes.
Go ahead.
The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, so that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths.
Okay. So he's saying, there's going to come a day when all of this is going to turn around and you'll come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and people will just fight to get into the house of the Lord.
Yes.
There will be so many coming,
yes,
that there will be fighting to get into the house of the Lord, because the Spirit of the Lord will be mighty in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, do we need that kind of revival.
Amen.
Amen. The good thing is, at least America's going back in the right direction. Oh, for a revival like that.
Yes.
Amen? Let's go.
For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
There is a prophecy. Do you know what that relates to? Do you realize that? I believe that relates to, I didn't find it this afternoon, I got sidetracked. But I believe it's relating to the millennial reign of,
yes,
Christ on the earth.
Yes.
Because I believe that's where it's,
yes,
it happened, where he tells us they're going to beat their plows and the
tool,
I mean, make,
yep,
tools out,
yep,
of their weapons,
yep,
because there will be no war while Jesus reigns on the earth for 1,000 years.
Yep.
Yes, so I believe that's actually fulfilled during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So,
is that before or after the coming of Christ?
That's after the coming of Christ. So millennial reign of Christ is after
the Great Tribulation.
Yeah, the Great Tribulation. And then Satan is taken and cast into hell for 1,000 years.
Yep.
So the people are no longer tempted by sin. Okay? And during that 1,000 years, we who rose up to be with Jesus,
mm-hmm,
when Jesus comes, we're going to go up to be with him. The dead are going to come out of the grave. The live who are alive in Christ will go up to be with him. But we will be in our eternal bodies from that point on.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are those that didn't go up, and they will be on the earth, and they will be there for 1,000 years. Then Satan will be loosed for a short spell to test those who have never,
mm-hmm,
been tempted by,
yep,
Satan. And so then what will happen is the whole thing will change. He'll start to do something else, which we don't know what that is, okay? Because that's after Christ return and all.
Okay, so all those movies are wrong. I mean, you know, the movie you watch, the Antichrist and all that, but.
Well, the Antichrist does come during the Great Tribulation.
Tribulation.
The Great Tribulation, the Antichrist comes.
Yes.
Now, all according to your doctrine, now we can disagree a little bit. There's some people that put the rapture at different places,
right,
along the way. I have my own personal view on that, and I believe that we are going to go up to see Christ and watch it. Well, the Bible teaches we're going to watch him fight the war against the wicked that were coming to destroy Israel. So we're going to come before that great battle there. I know that to be the fact. But there's different perspectives on exactly,
right,
at what point does Christ come. We don't have to worry. You know why? We just need to be ready.
Exactly.
That's all we need to do.
Exactly.
Either you're going to serve him, and that's what we're hearing here. He's saying, hey, if you don't want to serve me, you're free, but here's what's going to happen to you. If you don't serve me, your life will fall into total decimation. However, if you'll serve me and do it my way, and you'll love the poor and the needy and care about others the way I tell you to, you're going to have a blessed life.
Right.
Now, if you try to figure it out, sometimes that's hard to figure out, because how can I give and have more? Okay? God says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are your ways. So, your thoughts. So, God's way, even though it may not make sense, work.
The spirit realm, spiritual realm does not necessarily function the same
as a natural realm.
Yep.
So when we study some of this stuff and it doesn't make sense, realize there's a different being. I taught Sunday, we are born naturally,
mm-hmm.
but we are born spiritually, yes. also when we invite him to come in and take up his place in his spirit. Well, the two kingdoms function very differently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So when we operate according to the principles of the Spirit of God, they will be very different than our flesh. So anyway, I think my answer to your question is, we go up, I believe we go up as Christ comes down to fight the battle. That's my perspective. Other Christians disagree with me, and they have the right to find out that they're wrong. Just kidding. Well, we might as well laugh at it, because we may be in disagreement, but it doesn't mean that we can't walk together.
Right.
Right? Because it doesn't matter. What really matters is that we're ready to go up when he comes.
Amen. Amen.
And be exact, maybe there's just a bunch of pride there, fighting to be right. Being right isn't the important thing. It's being right with God that's important.
Amen.
So, yes, that's one.
Yeah, he expects to find you serving him.
That's right. Yeah.
And he, as long as you're
serving,
you're not thinking about all the future details. You're just thinking about serving him. That's what he wants to see.
Well,
that's what he wants to
see.
But that's what's gonna make the difference. Is we are gonna be. She said probably the best. Are we in a present
relationship
with him?
Amen.
Which means living our life to please and glorify him.
Amen.
That's all we're doing. And we are. We're ready. So it doesn't really matter what your belief is. It'll happen when it happens. Mm-hmm. It's really important. Are we in a relationship with God? And he's inviting them and saying, come back. Remember, he said, you're as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah?
Destroyed.
He literally devoured them.
Yep.
Okay? Okay, devoured them with stones and fire. Okay? And he's saying to this nation, you're as bad as they were, but I'm inviting you to come back into a right relationship with me.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I believe we choose that every day. You know, I recommend when you roll out of bed, the first thought needs to be, God be with me.
Yes.
And that way, you're living for the right reason, and it really doesn't matter when he does or doesn't come.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Let's go ahead.
Judgment pronounced on arrogance. O house of Jacob, come let us walk in the light of the Lord, for you have forsaken the way of your people. O house of Jacob, indeed there are full of diviners from the east, mm-hmm. and of soothsayers like the Philistines.
Okay, so that's witchcraft and that kind
yes.
of stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
And they clasp hands with foreigners. Their land is filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land is filled with horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land is filled with idols. Mm. They bow down to the work of their hands, to what their own fingers have made. And so people are humbled, and everyone is brought low. Do not forgive them. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and from the glory of his majesty. The haughty eyes of people shall be brought low, and the pride of everyone shall be humbled.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord alone will be exalted on that day.
Amen.
Okay, so he's warning them there's a day coming when judgment's going to happen.
Yep.
And the high and mighty will be brought low, and everything will be straightened out and brought back into order.
Yep.
It's a warning to us. And once again, as the prophet, he's now the nation needs in this present time and the condition of the people where they are in a whole destructive mode of immorality and godlessness, and he's trying to get them to reconsider what they're doing and come back to him. That's it.
For the Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up and high, against all the cedars of Lebanon, lofty and lined up, and against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the high mountains and against all the lofty hills, against every high tower and against every fortified wall, against all the ships of Tarshish and against all the beautiful craft. The haughtiness of people shall be humbled, and the pride of everyone shall be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted on that day.
Ooh, boy, amen. There's coming a day. There's coming a day. And when the haughty will be brought low, and the playing field will be very different, because it's based on our relationship with God.
Amen.
So that day's coming and coming soon. All right, let's work. We have a few more minutes.
The idols shall utterly pass away, enter the caves of the rocks and the holes of the ground from the terror of the Lord and from the glory of his majesty when he rises to terrify the earth. On that day, people will throw away to the moles and to the bats their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship.
Yep. Well, and I believe at the end days, we're going to see that happen.
Yes.
Because they're going to say, rocks fall on us because the judgment of God. In other words, there's such an awe of God's judgment that they just want to die. But the question is, will they even be able to die?
Well, it says that death will flee from them.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
You're going to want to die. The wicked are going to want to die because they see Almighty God coming to judge the earth. And he's warning us, saying, there's coming a day when that judgment's going to come, and you're going to wish you could hide from God. Hmm. By the way, can you ever hide from God?
No.
Just in case you don't know it. We can never hide from God. Right. So we might as well just realize, he sees us in all places at all times. All right, let's go.
If I make my bed in hell, you will be there with me.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Go all the way there.
All right.
To enter the caverns of the rocks and the clefts in the crags from the terror of the Lord and from the glory of his majesty when he rises to terrify the earth. Turn away from mortals who have only breath in their nostrils, for of what account are they? For now the sovereign, the Lord of hosts, is taking away from Jerusalem and from Judah support and staff, all support of bread and all support of water, warrior and soldier, judge and prophet, diviner and elder, captain of 50 and dignitary, counselor and skillful magician and expert enchanter.
Ooh, wow. He's saying, man, I take all these other things that you look to. Mm-hmm. I'm taking them away from you, by the way, for your salvation. Mm-hmm. Because as long as you're looking to all these other things, you're not going to look to the only one that can save you.
Amen.
And so what he's doing and saying and declaring, I believe, by the way, happens in the last days, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he's prophesying right now what's going to happen when Christ comes and during the millennial reign. Go ahead.
And I will make boys their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by a neighbor. The youth will be insolent to the elder, and the base to the honorable.
Wow. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful place to be?
Children, no respect for older.
Yes, yes. Well, it's just the wickedness, as wicked as you can be, because you're not honoring authority, you're not honoring your parents, you're not. Everything that God intends for us to do, they're doing just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Looks like nowadays.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we have some of that whole spirit functioning now. Yes. But I believe God is wooing us. Right tonight, if you're in the wrong place, you're doing the wrong purpose, it's a good time to rethink and say, what do I need to readjust in my life that's out of order with God's way? Because if you want a good life, it is really important we line up with God's way.
Amen.
So let's go ahead.
Someone will even seize a relative, a member of the clan, saying, you have a cloak, you shall be our leader, and this heap of ruins shall be under your rule.
Can you imagine choosing your leader by such foolish ways?
Yeah.
You have a few things, go ahead and rule over us. Of course, the children will rule over them too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, go ahead.
But the other will cry out on that day, saying, I will not be a healer. In my house there is neither bread nor cloak. You shall not make me leader of the people. For Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah has fallen, because their speech of their deeds are against the Lord, defying his glorious presence.
Wow. That's a desperate place. And let him stop right there. But he didn't mince words, does he?
Nope.
However, he was declaring what God had given him, okay, to say to the people, to try to get them to return to him. And during that period, there was another prophet prophesying. Who was it? Jeremiah was prophesying at the same time. Okay, he was in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This Isaiah is where?
Judah.
Okay, he's in Judah. Mm-hmm. And Jeremiah was in
Israel and
Jerusalem.
Yeah.
He was in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
One was the south and one was the north. So you have two different prophets at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I find it interesting, God is warning the people,
mm-hmm.
saying, turn back to me, because this is where you're heading, and this is what's going to come upon you if you don't turn back to me.
And you had Daniel in during some of that time,
yeah.
also, because
he's mixed
used
in.
some of Jeremiah's
yes.
stuff.
Yes.
To prophesy.
So we have just begun to consider. Is it any comments or any questions? Awesome.
Very enlightened.
Yes.
Maybe
oh God.
I have a ton of questions, but you know, we don't really have time.
Uh-huh. But it tells you from out the gate, put all your foolishness
yeah.
aside.
Yeah, well, it is. Yes.
You know,
well, when you begin to read it, you realize how foolish it really is.
Right.
Yeah.
And thank God for truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm so grateful for God's word. Because he tells us, he warns us, he tells us how to live a blessed life, he tells us and warns us about the lies that we can fall and trap to.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is, he's doing that with them. They rejected him. That's how they ended up in that mess.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they first started out, they were blessed and prospered.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And because they weren't turned away from God, they ended up in a real mess. And here God is saying, let me tell you how easy it is. Just turn back
mm-hmm.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just turn back to me. And I will forgive your sin that's red as scarlet. They'll be as white as snow. In other words, I will forgive you. I will cleanse you. And
completely.
You'll be made whole again.
Completely.
I just
yes.
so thankful that God is quick to forgive.
Amen.
All your dross will be gone.
Yeah.
The dirtiness.
Okay. Well, somebody want to close with a word of prayer?
Whoever closes, if you could pray for, I forgot about this earlier, Janine's daughters. They're all three of them are real, well, all four of the kids are really struggling.
Well,
you know, so you can close.
Well, okay, I'm okay.
There you go.
Dear Lord, thank you for this time together and enlightening in your word from Isaiah, Lord.
Thank you.
As we walk through our relationship with you, each
yes.
of our walks are different, but each of us has that goal for a relationship with
yes.
you, Lord. Lord, I pray for you to protect the hearts of Janine's family right
yes,
now.
Yes, Lord.
Lord,
yes.
just help them
Jesus.
Through this tough time.
Jesus.
And
Jesus.
Just to help it maybe turn for a relationship with you. So
yes.
They can have that relationship. Janine wanted each of them to have a relationship
yes.
with you, Lord. Mm. I pray that that will happen, Lord.
Yes,
Father. Lord, protect us all as we go home and we all are able to reconnect on Sunday.
Yes, Father.
In the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.